We're going to learn Daf Chaf in Masechtas Nedarim. We are going to start right from the top on the Mishnah, right at the beginning of the Yomid. The Mishnah starts as follows. So before we even read the first words of the Mishnah, let's remember what the last Mishnah said. The last Mishnah told us that the Mishnah started with the first concept, that if a person makes a neder that's ambiguous, we go l'chumra. Meaning if it's possible to translate it in a way that it's a serious neder versus if it's possible to translate it in a way that it's neder, it's not a neder. If we don't know how to translate it, we're going to assume and we're going to establish that he meant the real neder. That was the first line. But then the second line of the Mishnah says, but if he comes and explains what he means, so then we accept his interpretation. Okay, and then the Mishnah went ahead and gave some examples to that effect. So this Mishnah follows that, and this Mishnah says the following. This Mishnah gives some examples of where a person can explain, and he can explain even in ways that we wouldn't necessarily have expected him to, would have expected that interpretation at all. It says as follows. Neder b'cheirim. So if a person makes a neder, meaning, what he's saying b'cheirim? He says, I want this, this object should be cheirim to me. Okay? So, normally, if you don't give an interpretation to those words, we had this exact case in the Mishnah before. Did we mean Chayim to Kohanim? Did we mean Chayim to the Beis HaMikdash? And so on and so forth. So those are possible Nadar. Or at least one of them is a possible Nadar. However, this guy comes along, Va'omar, and this guy says, Loi Nadarti El B'Chermo Shel Yam. What I meant when the word cheirim, apparently the word cheirim can also be used in a completely different context. It could mean the nets that are used to catch fish in the ocean. Special kind of nets are called cheirim. And he said, that's what I meant. That's what I had in mind. And as we'll see in a moment, that if that's what the guy wants to say, that's what he meant, then we're going to believe him. He has every right to say, listen what I meant. We have to remember, let's put things in perspective over here. It's this person, he's the one making the nether. He's the one accepting upon himself what he's saying. So we have no idea what's in his mind and what he was trying to say. So even if he used a funny word that we might naturally translate in a certain way, especially in this context, obviously using every word in a different context can mean different things. But in this context, of the context of Nedarim, you might have thought the regular thing. Kamash Malon the Mishnah, that no, this is what I meant. And we have no right and no reason to argue with him. Continuing in the same concept. Similarly, the guy says, Bekarbon, which again is another classic example of how to accept upon yourself a neder. V'omar, and then he says, no, loy nadarti ela bekarbon shamalochim. What I meant is it doesn't really mean sacrifice, it means a present. Apparently they used it when you give something, a present to a king, you use the expression again. It's harder for us to understand because of the fact that we don't naturally use this language and use these expressions, so it's hard for us to understand. To us it's just random. But apparently they used to use these words by presents to the king. Or Hare Atzmi Karban. He says, I want myself to be the Karban, which we would normally naturally translate to say that the value of himself should be the value of the Karban or something like that. That's how in the context of Nadarim we would translate it. But Omar, and the guy comes along and says, Lo Nadarti Elo Be'etzem Shehanachti Li Yos Noider Boy. He says, No, I have a bone, right? Atzmi, it's the same words. The atzmi is my bone. There's a special bone that I have that I use for the purposes of making nedarim on it. And that's what I meant to be, that's what I meant as my neder. And of course, that's not really a neder because there's nothing usur about his bone. And remember, every time you're making a neder, you're attaching it to something else that's usur. And over here in this case, there's nothing, so it's not going to be a neder. Why? Because that's what I meant in my mind. That's what I always mean. Right? So again, a guy comes up with a funny expression and says, this is what I do to make nedarim. Make it sound like it's a neder and it's not like a neder, right? So then that in those cases it's not going to be a neder. Similarly, koinim ishti nenesli. Once again he says, which is again an expression which we've seen earlier in the Masechta, where a person says, I want to make my wife is forbidden to have any hana from me. Koinim is like similar to the lashon of korban. And again, under normal circumstances, without interpretation, we would assume that that's a proper neder to make his wife aser. Va'omer, and this guy says, "Lanedarti ela be'ishti harishayno shegirashti." What I meant was, when I say my wife, I don't mean my wife I'm currently married to. I mean my wife that I divorced, my ex. So then, the get, there's no way we can tell if that's what he meant. If that's what he meant, then he referred to her as his wife, because she was his wife. It's like the expression does make sense somewhat. Again, under normal circumstances, that's not the conclusion I would have jumped to naturally. But if this is what he meant, this is what he meant. In all of those cases, the Mishnah says a fascinating thing. Al Kulon, and all of these examples, Ein Nishalon Lohen. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to go to a Talmud Chacham. It's not like you made a neder and now you have to undo that neder. And now you have to figure out how to get out of it. You don't even have to get out of it. This is not a good neder in the first place. You don't even have to bother asking. However, then the Mishnah changes gears immediately and says, Ve'im Nishalu, but if you do go to the Chacham to kind of undo your neder, Oinshin Oison, we punish them. We'll see what the punishment is in a moment when we get to the Gemara. Umachmirin alehen, divrei Rav Meir, and we're machmir, so we'll see again what the punishment is and what the chumra is. But the point is that if you are in a circumstances where either you do go voluntarily or we have to go, as we'll see in a moment, then we take it seriously, and not only do we take it seriously that it's a nether, we tack on extra things. We tack on and we make it a more serious nether than what you would have otherwise naturally had. Okay, so we go two extremes here. On the one hand, we say you don't even have to bother with this. On the other hand, we say that if you're going to already take it seriously, so then it's something that you have to deal with. Okay, Dibur Rameir. That's Rameir Shita. The Chachamim Aymerim, but the Chachamim argue and they say, Poitchulem Pesach Mimokoim Acher. We have to find another Pesach. Meaning, so again, we didn't get into this part of Nedarim yet, which we're going to get into in a little bit, but there's different ways to be Matar and Neder. When you go to Beis Din and say, I want to undo my Neder, so the simplest way is you say, I have Charata. If I had known how difficult this neder was going to be, I never would have taken upon myself in the first place. That's simple charata. A Pesach is where you find an excuse, not just because it's difficult and I didn't really realize that I didn't want to do it, that type of thing. It's because it turns out that this is something I can't do because of some unforeseen circumstance. So that's a Pesach. We have to find something like that. Now that's not always so simple to find, because sometimes there really is no good excuse for not making the, for not keeping your neder. So what the Chachamim are saying here is, no, it's not just enough to say that it's not a good, that the guy doesn't want the neder. He has to find a Pesach, he has to find Mimokim Acher from a different angle why it's not considered a good neder. So that's the Chachamim Shito. Umelamdin Oison, and we teach them, we'll have to see who them is, but we teach them that we teach them this, that it's going to be difficult to undo this neder, so that they shouldn't take nedarim lightly. Because nedarim is a very serious topic. As again, we'll see at some point in the Gemara, where it talks about the fact that it could destroy the world. Somebody makes a neder and he doesn't keep his nedarim, it could destroy like the mabul. So it could destroy the world. So we have to be very careful. So we don't want people to take nedarim lightly. So we make sure that we say, when you come to ask, when you're being shoyl, Bezdin is going to make you take it very seriously. Okay, so that's the mission. The bottom line is that if a person makes a neder, he gets to interpret what he means. Obviously, if he gives an interpretation, if he doesn't know what it means, or he didn't mean anything in particular, then we're going to translate it the way we see fit. But if he has a specific translation, we're going to believe him and accept his interpretation of what his neder is, because it's his neder. Okay. But if he asks, we're going to take it very seriously. So that's the first Gemara's Kasha. Right now we're up to the Gemara. Hogufa Kasha. The Mishnah itself seems to contradict itself from one line to the other. Amriz, on the one end, we say, Einish on lehen. We say you don't even have to ask. These nedarim are, he made them into non-nedarim, non-negotiable nedarim, or rather non-nedarim. So we don't even have to bother with them. V'hodr tani, but then the next line is, im nishalu, oinchen oisayim, machmirin alein. And the next line is, but if he does ask, then we punish him. Make it worse. And we're machmir. So it sounds like it is a neder and something that we do have to take seriously. So is it a neder or not? So the Gemara is similar to a Gemara that we had earlier. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hachi Ketani. The way to read the Mishnah is like this. The Kulon ain't Trichin She'elo. These nedarim really don't need to ask about. You don't even ask. You don't have to go to a chacham to undo them. But when do we say that you don't have to bother with talmud chacham? When you're dealing with a talmud chacham who knows and understands what a neder is and what's not a neder, and if he says, "I didn't mean to make a neder, I used a funny word, but it's not a neder," we believe him. Avol, but there's the main point. Ba'am ha'oretz. But when you're dealing with an am ha'oretz shabal lishol, now he's coming to ask because he doesn't know what is a neder and what's not a nether. So in his mind, there is potentially that it is really a nether. Even if he meant all these things, it's still in his mind, still, he still thinks it's going to be a nether. So then, so we punish him, and we're machmir on him. So again, the bottom line is, a very simple teretz in the Gemara, really depends on whether it's a talmid chacham who understands what he's doing, versus an am ha'aretz who doesn't understand what he's doing. So again, you are all in the category of, we are all in the category of a talmid chacham, because we understand. For this purpose, we're in the category of a talmid chacham, because we understand what's a neder and what's not a neder. We understand the concept. We're talking about an am ha'aretz who doesn't know, right? Before you learned Masechtas Nedarim, did you know that I could take some abstract thing and make that the neder and therefore undo my whole neder? I don't know. Maybe before I learned Masechtas Nedarim, I was an am ha'aretz in this topic. But now I'm a talmid chacham. Now I know that I can interpret my words and they can mean, and I can make them mean nothing if I want them to. Again, I'm not suggesting that you do that, but you could. So now that I know. So then I don't have to, so that's the talmid chacham versus an am ha'aretz. Okay, now, let's start talking about this concept of when you need to ask. So we said for the am ha'aretz, we, again, oinchen u'machmirin. So the Gemara says, what do these words mean? Bishloim u'machmirin. What does that mean that we're machmir, that we add extra chumros, deloy paschino loy becharoto? So that we don't allow him, if he's going to undo the neder, so now that he thinks it's a serious neder and we need to undo it, so we're not going to allow him just to do the regular charata, as we said before. A guy can't come into Bezin and says, I regret the fact that I made the neder. Why do you regret it? Because I'm just not happy that I did. I don't want to do it anymore. That, we're not going to allow him to do that. Now, under normal circumstances, a regular neder, you might be able to do that. But under these circumstances, because he's not sure, and he's an amaris, he doesn't know whether it was a real neder or not, we're going to give it to him. We're going to say, no, this is such an enforceable neder. This is so strong, this nether. We're not going to let you just say, I don't want to do it anymore. We're going to have to find another excuse why it's okay to undo this nether. That's the chumrah. Elo oinchin hechi dami. What do we mean by punishing him? What's the punishment over here? Either it's a nether or it's not a nether. So the Gemara answer is very interesting, very fascinating. Kedetanya, we learned in a braisa. Misha nozar. Somebody who accepted upon himself to be a nozar. The overal nazir osoy. And then he decided not to pay any attention to it. Ein niskokin loy. We don't pay any attention to him, meaning we don't help him out of his situation and maybe undo the nether, nozer, or whatever it is. We don't help him out. Ad sheyinig by iser kiyam shenog bahen heter. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We say that you have to behave properly, at least for the amount of time that you desecrated it, that you violated your nether, your in this case nazirus. For that amount of time, so for 3 days I decided, you know what, I went on a binge, it was Purim while I was a nozer and I wanted a drink. So for 3 days I went crazy. So then he says to Bezin, oh my gosh, I just was, you know, I get Malkus for that, I don't want to get Malkus. So let me quickly run to Bezin. Bezin's gonna say, no. First you behave. You behave for 3 days, you show us that you're really capable, and then I'll talk to you. I'm not just, you made a mistake, and now I'm going to undo it for you. So that's what Anshin Aysay is. Anshin Aysay is not like we literally give it to him, but we interact with him in a way that we're not going to just accept the misbehavior. We're going to say, you got to behave. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So the amount of time, and it could mean, if it was an extended period of time, it could mean that before we'll pay any attention to him, he might have to undo it for an extended period of time. So this is, this is especially with kids. You know, the kids, they misbehave and then they immediately want to be let off the hook. It's like, no, first show me you can behave and then I'll deal with you. So, I'm Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi says, let me put this into context. When do I say that you just have to undo the amount of time? It's talking about when you have a short Naziris. So let's say it's a short Naziris means your classic Naziris of 30 days. So worst case scenario, you violated your Naziris for 30 days. It was supposed to be from March 1st to March 31st and I was, and I didn't behave the whole time. Okay, so we'll wait another month. But let's say I accepted upon myself to be a Nozer for a really long period of time, which is possible. I could say I want a 60-day or 90-day Naziris. I could do that. there, Enes Kakum Loi Beidina, sorry, I skipped a line. Abu Benazirus Meruba, Dialoi, Dayoi Lamed Yon. The most you have to behave for is 30 days. In other words, if I can show you that I can be a Nozer, I can behave for the duration of a classic Nazirus, even if my individual Nazirus would have been for longer, I just have to behave for 30 days in the case of a Nazirus in this case, so then I can listen to him. Okay? So that's what the Gemara says. So the argument between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda is simply, how long is there a cap, a maximum of how long the person has to undo his misbehavior before we pay any attention to him? Okay, but now comes a very interesting thing. So we say that Bezin, so we're punishing him, but the Bezin is not going to pay attention to him. Bezin's not going to even help him out until he helps himself. Okay, so this is a very important yusoy. The person first has to help themselves before we are obligated to step in and help them. Now, on that note, Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, "Hoil va'amri rabbanon einis kakin loy." Now that Chachamim have established that Bezin is not supposed to step in, so then beidina de mezakiki lay the mezakiki. So if a Bezin decides, "Oh, we're going to help him. We're going to be the nice guys. You know, we're going to help him out." Loy avdi shaper. That's not the right thing to do. That's not the right thing, because the meaning the Bezin is not considered a proper Bezin. It's not like you get to decide, okay, I want to be a nice guy. You can't be a nice guy. If the guy needs to wait, he needs to wait. Rav Acher by Yaakov Amri, Rav Yaakov takes it even one step further. Not only does Bezin just not behaving, but rather, we're going to put that Bezin in Cherim. We're going to put Bezin into Cherim for helping. Okay, so you're not supposed to just randomly help because you decided that you wanted to help. However, the interesting thing here is that Tosfos does say there are exceptions to the rule. If, for whatever reason, there was a reason why Bezdin had to help this guy because the chayes it could get worse and things like that. So Tosfos does make exceptions to the rule, but this is the general rule. If there's no reason, you just want to be a nice guy, you can't, that's not an excuse. You have to let it run its course. The person has to take the step, you know, like we say in as little kids, we say, you do your best and Hashem does the rest, type of thing. The person has to take steps forward. You can't just undo it because he's too lazy to undo his issues that he created. So that's the important thing. And again, as I said, pointed out that Tosfos does say there are exceptions to the rule if necessary. So it's not an ironclad rule. This is the rule, but it's not an ironclad rule. Okay, so that takes us to the two dots. Now, the Chachamim are posing like Pesach. So the Chachamim say, this is just a general quote from the Mishnah that we say, we don't just let him undo the neder and say, I don't want to do the neder anymore. I have harota that I accepted upon myself the neder. That's not good enough. You have to find a legitimate excuse in order to be matur the neder. So now, based on that note, the Gemara now continues. Tano, lo oilom al tehe rogil b'nedarim. You shouldn't be accustomed to nedarim. You shouldn't take upon yourself nedarim. It is a general matter. Shasoivcho limol b'shvuos. Because what's going to happen is, if you don't take nedarim seriously, you're going to end up taking upon yourself your shvua. And then you're gonna, and if you're not taking the neder seriously, you're not gonna take the shvuah seriously either. And by a shvuah, it's much more serious, as we learned on Daf Yud Ches. We learned that by a shvuah, it's layinakeh. That if a person is zoyver on shvuah, he's not gonna get away with it. Min hashamayim, you're not gonna get away with it. So it's gonna be much more serious. So a person shouldn't let himself, so to speak, go down that rabbit hole. So the Gemara says, Va'alte rogil etzel am ha'oretz. You shouldn't also hang out with an Amma Aretz who doesn't know what he's doing. Because at the end, he's going to end up giving you Tevel because he doesn't know. He's trying to be a nice guy. He doesn't mean it in a bad way. It's just naturally that's what's going to happen. He's going to want to impress you. He's going to want to make sure you're not insulted, whatever it is. And he's going to feed you something because that's the natural thing to do. And he's going to end up giving you something that's Tevel and you're not allowed to eat it. So it's going to end up coming back to haunt you. Alte rogel etzel koyin am aretz, and even for that matter, you should be careful not to hang out with a koyin who's an am aretz. So soif chala achilcha truma. Now there's a different gear over here. Whether we just stop with the word truma, that would be talking about a regular Yisrael, meaning the way to interpret this Gemara is a Yisrael shouldn't hang out with a Kohen because a Kohen is an Amoritz and doesn't understand what the differences is. Remember, there's a concept of a person who doesn't know Halacha. We're Baruch Hashem more familiar with Halacha, even if we don't know all Halachas and we don't know as much as we should. But we have parameters. We know that there are certain things we got to worry about. But these Amoratzim don't even know that there's a thing to worry about. There could be a Kohen Amoratz doesn't even realize that the Truma, you know, because Meiser, by the way, if I have Meiser as a Kohen, I could share my Meiser with the Yisrael. It's not a problem. But the Truma, I can't. So a Kohen can easily make that mistake. You know, he doesn't know these distinctions and the subtle differences. So again, he's going to end up, if you're Yisrael, end up feeding you Truma. However, the Girsa, there are those that have a Girsa, they add on Truma Tameya. That he's going to end up feeding you Truma Tameya. This would mean even a Kohen who's a Tam Chacham can't hang out with a Kohen who's an Amoritz. Because the Kohen says to himself, it's Truma, oh, it's Mutter. But he doesn't realize that it's Truma Tameya. And the Halacha is, Truma Tameya, the only thing you could do with it is burn it. You're not allowed to eat it anymore. So even a Kohen shouldn't hang out with a Kohen Amoritz because he's going to end up eating things that are also and he's not allowed to eat. Okay, now once we're talking about things that in general, being careful not to hang out, so the Gemara now adds, Va'al tar basicha ima isha, you should not schmooze, you should not be schmoozing with women too much, shasoivcha lova lidei niuf, because then it's going to come, loosely translated, to znus. It's going to come to inappropriate behavior. Okay, if you hang out with the women, that's what's going to happen. Rav Acha b'Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Rabbi Yoshia says, "Kol atzoifa b'noshim." Anybody who steers, who gazes, who looks to women, soifa ba l'day aveiru. He's going to end up doing something. If that's where you're hanging out, if that's what you're looking forward to, right? Mitzapa l'Yeshua. Mitzapah Yeshua that we say in davening is we're waiting for, right? So somebody who's waiting for women, he's always like, that's his dream in life, so that's gonna be a problem. Now, so it doesn't mean literally looking with your eyes, it means, you know, it's more of a feeling in your heart. If that's the way you're gonna feel about it, you're gonna end up acting on your behavior. Similar, but here the Gemara is talking about looking. And anybody who looks, now mistakel usually is translated as steering, as a gaze. You're holding your gaze on even the ankle of a woman. It's talking about, you're gonna end up having children that are not proper. You're gonna end up having children with problems to it. Whatever the problems may be. So looking at now, the simple translation of this Gemara seems to be talking about women in generally. That somebody who's looking at women, staring at women is going to have, somehow that's gonna affect their own children. However, the Gemara does translate this a little, does interpret this a little bit. Amar Rav Yosef, ube ishtoi nido. This is talking about not even that you're looking at other women, you're looking at your own wife when she's a nida, and again, it's inappropriate at the moment because she is a nida at the moment. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, says, let me explain to you a little bit further. A kova diktani, when we're talking about the heel, we're talking about b'mokoim ha'tnufes. We're talking about the let's call it a dirty place. What does that mean? Shehu mechuvan keneged ha'ekev. That comes out right up against the ankle. So let me explain this. The way I understand this is based on a Gemara and Nida. The Gemara and Nida over there discusses that, let's say, okay, this is how I understand this Gemara. Let's say, so the Gemara Nida is discussing if you find a stain, a red stain on a woman's clothing, whether or not you consider her a Nida or not. So let's say, for example, you find a red stain on her shoulder. So a red stain on her shoulder, the chances are that if you go to a Talmid Chacham and say, is it Mutter, is it Tar, is it Tamei, the Talmid Chacham will say, on her shoulder, it's Tar, because you don't usually, it's not from Moisim Makim, it's not going to be, it has nothing, it's no sheiches. But the Gemara over there does say, but let's say you find it on her socks. Let's say you find the stain on her socks, on her ankles. So there the Gemara specifically says that the Talmud Chacham would definitely consider that a stain, a nida stain. Why? Because since when a woman is walking, that area of her body goes underneath the Makom Adam. So it's very possible that, again, without getting too specific, but it's very possible that it dripped onto her ankle. And therefore, that's where the stain came from. So that's what the Gemara over here, so that's how I understand what the Gemara over here is saying. Cause in other words, because that's connected, that area. The two correlate to each other. So when the Gemara over here is saying, B'mokam ha-metunafes, is saying that the dirty spot, M'chuvin k'neged ha-ekev, because it's right, it lines up by her ankle. So that's really what we're talking about over here. We're talking about where there's a connection to someplace that's inappropriate. And so now if you put Rabbi Yosef together with Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, we're talking about when she's a nida in a place that's inappropriate. So then, anachanami, this is not behavior that a person should do. A person should at least If you look at the first sheet, it's in general a person shouldn't be looking at women. But then if you want to limit it to what Rabbi Yosef is saying, it's talking about anida, and then he'd limit it more to Rav Shimon ben Lakish. We're talking about not just anida; we're talking about in a place where it's inappropriate. I'll leave it. Every person can translate that as they want. So then that's where it's going to be a problem, and then that's where it can cause problems. Okay. So the Gemara continues, so to speak, on this topic. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Ba'avur tia yirosai al pnechem. So it says in the pasuk that you should have fear. You should have a year over here. You should have a fear of doing averus. So the Gemara answers. As the Gemara explains, zu boishes. This is the idea of having boishes. You're humble. You're embarrassed. You're embarrassed to do something wrong. Fine, so this is a good midah, so that will prevent you from doing averus. The vilti techeto, so that you can refrain from doing averus. Melamed, so again, the fact that you have busha, this teaches us, you put it together, shahabusha mevio lidei yiras chait, that a person who is embarrassed will bring to him the idea that he'll be afraid to do averus, he's embarrassed to do something wrong. That's good. You know that people are going to think of you poorly. That's good. That's a good midah. It's not the top best, you know, that's not what we strive for, but it's a good thing. It'll make sure a person doesn't do aver. Mikan amru, from here we say, simin yofa ba'odom, it's a good sign in a person, shehu baishon. That he's embarrassed, because if he's embarrassed, that means he's not going to do the wrong things either. He's not going to do the inappropriate things, because he's going to be embarrassed. Even if he's embarrassed from what his friends are going to say, it's a good thing. It'll prevent him from doing the wrong thing. But others say, "Kol odom hamis bayish." Somebody who is generally embarrassed, loy b'mehira hu choyte. He's not going to come to. This is a very similar idea. So, in general, not that he's embarrassed about something specifically, but he's the type of person who gets embarrassed. So then, he's not going to do averus quickly, because he's gonna know that if I do this, people are gonna. It's going to be embarrassing for me. So they're willing to withhold from doing what they want to do, so that people don't make fun of them. But the flip side of this, and this is the key, but somebody who has no busha, he doesn't care, he'll do anything. So then, we say that he was not part of Har Sinai. Because by Har Sinai, we say, those people who are there, were there at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we had Yira. At Har Sinai, the reason why Har Sinai was so successful is because we had a tremendous amount of yira and respect for a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's the fear gives us, what's the fear? The fear is that, you know, you don't want, well, it's a little bit of respect, but it's also the fact that you don't want to do anything, you don't want to do the wrong thing. So somebody who doesn't care and is willing to do whatever and has no busha, is not embarrassed, it's outright public. So that type of person, we could say that he didn't get the message at Har Sinai. Either physically he didn't have an ancestor there, or he's just not getting the message from Har Sinai. He's totally off. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai takes this a little bit further.
Dalit Dvarim
Sochuli Malachei Hasharis. There are four things about this kind of behavior that we'll see in a moment that the Malachei Hasharis told me that even though you wouldn't necessarily put two and two together, they told me that this is what happens. Chigrin, somebody who is lame, who has a child that is lame, that's hurt in some way. Can't walk properly. Mipnei ma havin. Why does that happen? Mipnei shahivchen es shulchano. Because they turn over the table. Now this is a very discreet way of what they say is, the Rashi over here explains, again we don't necessarily learn Rashi, but the Pirush of Rashi explains, he explains this in two different ways. Shahivchen es shulchano literally could mean that they have normal, the natural way to have relations is that the woman is on the bottom and the man is on top. That's the natural way. So Hoyfchen HaShulchanu means they do it the opposite, that the man is on the bottom. That's one way, that's the second way the Ran explains. Or, as we'll see later, and the Gemara is going to use it this way, it means that they turn her around. That's Bia Shaloi Kedarka. That instead of face to face, the woman is to his back, he's at the back, woman's back, let's say. So that also is, those type of things are going to create, if a person does this, now again it depends on who you ask and which mefarshim you listen, learn, but this is talking about if a person does this regularly, let's say, so then it's going to be a problem. So it causes chigrin. Ilmin, why does a person end up with a child that can't speak? Mipnei ma'avim, why does that happen? Mipnei shemenashkin, al oisai mokim, that they kiss in that area, again translating literally over there. So that is not something that could have a good result. Charoshim, mipnei ma'avim, why does a person have deaf? Now of deaf, the way the Ran explains over here means your classic translation of deaf, which means they can't hear and they can't talk. Why does that happen? Mipnei shemesaprin b'shas tashmish. That they talk during tashmish. Now we'll see in the Gemara Nama Beis in a moment, that means they talk about other things during tashmish. Okay, which is the point over here. In other words, you can focus on tashmish, as we'll see in a moment. It means, you know, you're totally just having a random conversation. Suman mipnei mahavin, what causes blindness? Mipnei shemistaklin ba'oisei mokoi, that the husband looks and stares. Again, mistaklin is again usually a gaze, staring ba'oisei mokoi. So then again, obviously you see the correlation. He's looking, so it affects the children's eyes. Okay, now, on the topic of talking during Tashmish, for a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction. Sholas ima shalom. So they asked ima shalom, who was a great woman, not a bad person. Mipnei ma, now turning to Amud Beis, banecha yefefian b'yoyzer. How come your children are so beautiful? They're so pretty. Amr lahen, so she answered, you know what the trick to having good children is? Eini misaper imi loy betchilas halayla. He doesn't talk to me. Now talking over here doesn't mean literally talking. It means having relations. Loy betchilas halayla, not in the beginning of the night. Veloy besayf halayla, not at the end of the night. And as Rashi explains, or the Ran explains, because at that point there are other people on the street, and I guess the insulation in their houses wasn't so great. So when a person is together with their wife, people on the street are able to hear what's going on. So that's inappropriate. Rather, ela b'chatzoy salayla, in the middle of the night, when everybody else is asleep, no one else is paying attention to what I'm doing. So we see that that's the right time. It should be at a time when no one else knows what's going on. Okay? Again, you have to put that in perspective, but that's the concept. The concept is that it should be done in a way that no one else knows what you're doing. Ukashahu mesaper, now here's the thing. Now, it says when he talks, now again, the talking over here does mean tashmish, but it does imply that there is a talking involved also. So, but kushahu mesaper, when he talks, megala tefach u'mechasa tefach, he uncovers one tefach, and then he covers another tefach, meaning he only uncovers exactly what he needs, he doesn't need more. And the Ran explains that over here the idea is that, for example, the Gemara and Brachas talks about when a person has to go to the bathroom, how much they're allowed to uncover themselves so that they can go to the bathroom without making themselves dirty, without dirtying their clothes. So the Gemara says, actually, for a man, it's usually two tefachim, because a man needs more room in order to be able to do it without getting himself dirty. So the point is over here, that's why it says, when he uncovers a tefach, and he covers a tefach, meaning referring to that second tefach, which would otherwise naturally be okay, Over here, he was careful to be more tsunua, and he would cover that extra tefach. In any way, v'doima alav kimi shekafu shade, and he would take it very seriously. It would be like as if there's somebody standing on top of him and scaring him to make sure that he's doing it properly. Okay, so in other words, you're taking it seriously, or for our purposes, more focused. The amarti loy, and I said to my husband, Matam, what do you do? Why do you behave this way? The amar li, and he says, kedei shaloy eten es eini beisha acheretz, so that I'm not paying attention to anybody else. I'm completely focused on you and nobody else. So that's the appropriate behavior. The nimtzu bonav boin l'dei mamzeres, because otherwise, if you start paying attention to other women, that can cause that the children are not appropriate for whatever reason. Now, the point is over here that the Gemara, when it was talking about how he would behave, it says Mesaper, that when he was conducting the act, when he was having relations with his wife, it says that he was talking. So we just said 2 seconds ago that talking during Tashmish was a problem. And here, here they were talking to Ima Shalom, who was considered a great woman and had great children, and she was clearly saying that they would talk to each other. So is it mutter to talk, or is it not? Are you supposed to talk? You're not supposed to talk. To which the Gemara gives a very important yusoid, loikasha, so it's not a contradiction at all. Ha b'mili de tashmish, ha b'mili achrenaisu. It depends on whether we're talking about what's going on, the relationships, what you're doing, versus having a random conversation, other things. So if the focus is, and as the Ran even points out, there's nothing wrong with making it exciting and trying to bring the person into it, that kind of talk is okay. That you're supposed to, and there's other Gemaras, the Gemara in Brachas also, that talks about the fact that they would entice each other and all that kind of stuff. So that's appropriate. But to be talking about other things and then randomly have relations, that is inappropriate. That's the kind of talking that a person should eliminate. In other words, as the Gemara itself finishes off over here and says, there should be a focus on the wife during the relations. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Zudiv Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavoy. So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, this is his opinion. Avol Omru Chachomah, but the Chachomah have a slightly different opinion, and they say, Ein Alocha Ki Yochanan ben Dehavoy. They say, no, it's not like Yochanan ben Dehavoy that I have to be, I can't talk it, I'm not talking, supposed to talk. Elakol Ma, or all these other things, but not just the talking over here. Now we're talking in general. All those other things about, the direction between the husband and the wife, and looking and acting, and all those other things. The Chachamim say we don't paskin like that. Whatever a person wants to do, whatever works for him, that's permitted. There are no, so to speak, rules, obviously, don't take it to the extreme, but that's what the Chachamim was saying. If this is what works for you, this is what works. As the Mara itself says, Mashal Abasar Abomi Beis HaTabach, it's like you buy a piece of meat from the butcher, Roitzelech Lo B'melach, if I want, I could salt it, Oichlei Tzli, I could roast it, Oichlei Mavushal, I could cook it, Oichlei Shaluk, I could overcook it, Oichlei, however I want, I could eat it, however I want. Nobody's gonna tell me how I like my meat. And the same thing is true over here also. Whatever works for you, whatever works for your relationship with your wife, the Chachamim are saying, if that works, it works. V'chein dog, habomi beis hatzayot, and the same thing is true with fish that come from a trapper. From the trapper. Again, no one's gonna tell you whether you cook it, you roast it, you burn it, whatever you wanna do, you could do with your food. And again, if it's just a muscle, but the same thing is true with the relations with a person's wife. Amar Amemar. So Amemar says, Man Malache Hashares. Who are these Malache Hashares? Okay, so after we just finished saying that a person could do whatever he wants, then we're gonna, so to speak, tame it down a little bit and say, who are the Malache Hashares? Who are these people that are on the highest level? Rabbonon. These are actually the Rabbonon that elevate themselves to be Hashem's best servants. The E Tema Malachi Asher is Mamish, because if we're talking about the Malachim that are up in Shemayim, Amayom Rabbi Yochanan Ein Alocha Ki Yochanan Ben Da'avoy. Why would he say we don't paskin like Yochanan Ben Da'avoy? They know the Malachi Asharis. They know the Malachi Asharis get to look down and they get to see what's really happening over here. They get to see the connection between one thing and the other thing. They would know if this behavior is causing this defect. The Malachi Asharis would literally know this because they could see it. They're not, so to speak, in it. They're above it. They could see. It's like if you're in a maze, you can't see how to get out. But if you're on top of the maze, you could see what's going on. You could see what's happening. So the Malachi Asharis up in Shemayim, it can't literally mean the Malachi Asharis, because they would know for sure what it is. And how could the Chachamim argue on that? They see what's happening. So it's the Chachamim. When he says the Malachi Asharis told me about this, it means the Chachamim understood that this is not proper behavior. It's not the way to behave to be the ultimate best person. And they were saying, this is the connection. But then I could say, listen, that's what you say. I don't agree. It's not a problem. I can disagree with, Rabbonin can argue with Rabbonin. That's okay. But why did he refer to them as the Malachi Asharis? The Mitzayim became Malachi Asharis because they are special. They are, like we say in the Haggadah. In fact, the Ran even quotes from the Haggadah. Right, we quote, that's a quote from the Haggadah, that we say that the Mitzionim Sham, that they were special, they were elevated, they were unique in Mitzrayim, meaning of course not unique just in a weird way, but in a good way. They were unique in a special way, that they were like the Mitzionim Malachi Asharis, and that's why they're Malachi Asharis, because they're special, they're above and beyond everybody else. Okay, so now. On that note, so we have a very interesting machlokes, whether a person is restricted in what he can do versus if a person can do whatever they want. It's everybody, whatever works for them, according to the second shita. So, who also the kamei de Rebbe. There was this woman who came to Rebbe, Amra Loi, and she said to him, Rebbe, arachti loy shulchan. I was behaving, so to speak, proper, regular. V'hafchu, and my husband, he turned me over. Amar Allah, so he said, Biti, Torah hetir ticha. The Torah said it's mutter. In other words, what are you coming to complain to me? It's mutter. There's nothing I can do to you. What am I going to do? What am I going to tell you? I can't tell you don't do it. I can't tell him it's asur. I can't restrict him. It's not asur. He could do it if he wants to. Similarly, so now we see there are stories and they're paskening this way that it's okay. Ahuda also the kamei de Rav. Another similar story. Someone who came to Rav. Omra loy. So Rebbe, she said to him, Rebbe, arachti loy shulchan. I behaved properly. It was in the regular way. V'hafchu, and he turned me over. Omar, he said to her, my shna mi min beniso. Why are you any different than a beniso is a fish? Again, same thing. The idea is, okay, so this is the way he wants it. So, it's fine. Meaning, Rav also said to her the same thing. There's nothing wrong with it. You want me to give a mustar shmuz? I can give a mustar shmuz. But in terms of what's mutter and what's asr, there is no isser. However, the one thing that the Ran does point out, he quotes the Rambam, he brings the Rambam over here, so he says that if a person's going to be involved in this behavior, they should just realize that he can't be moitzi shechazer lebatal. So, while it's true that he can do the act in that position, but at the end of the day, he's still, the moitzi shechazer lebatal is... Yeah. Gemara then continues. It says, "V'loisa sura achre levavchem." Of course, we all know there's a pasuk in Kriyat Shema. A person shouldn't go after their heart. And of course, we all know that's "V'loisa sura achre levavchem v'achre enechem." So first is the heart. What directions does the person want to go? So mikan, Amar Rebbe. So based on that, Rebbe says, "Al yishta adam b'kois ze v'yiten enov." So literally translated, it just means a person shouldn't drink it with one cup and be paying attention to another cup. It's not just FOMO. That's not what we're talking about over here. It's talking about during Tashmish, a person shouldn't be focused on, behaving with his wife and be focused on, shouldn't be thinking about other people. So Amar Ravina, Lo Nitzucha Ela, when the Chiddush that we need to tell you is that Afilu Beis Nashav. Even if they're both his wife, meaning we're not even talking about where someone's thinking about some other person, that someone else's wife is also, or even some other random girl, or whatever it is, that we're not even talking about that. We're talking about where he's thinking about somebody who's completely mutter to him. Even that is inappropriate when you're with one person, you should completely and entirely focus on that person. And by the way, this doesn't even necessarily have to be talking about what we, when we say quote unquote relations. This should be true about every moment. If a person is talking to their wife, talk to your wife. I'm talking about literally talking. If you're doing something with her, do that with her. Don't be busy with other things and finding distractions and so on and so forth. It's not just the relations that, you know, that act itself. Talking about in general, person should be focused on who they're talking to. As the pasuk says, "V'roisi mikem amoyer din va'poishin." V'roisi means I will be boyer. I will pick out. I will pick out those people who are mordim. They are rebellious and poishim do averus. So I'm going to get rid of those people who do averus. Amar Rav Levi, elu b'nei tisha midos. These are referring to the people with 9 specific midos. B'nei asnas. Mishagach. Okay, that's an abbreviation of the 9 things, which is really, as we'll see in a moment, we're going to list 10 because two of them really go hand in hand, are really together. B'nei Emo, people who create a fear in their house. They make everybody scared of them. And again, if anybody knows households like that, it doesn't end well. When people are scared of you, that's not a good relationship. B'nei Anusa, if a husband forces his wife when she doesn't want to. B'nei Snua, when a person is, there's a disdain and a hatred in the house. And again, it means even if they're fighting at the moment, but it means that there's an issue going on over here, referring to specifically they should not be having relationships during that time. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily forcing her, because that would be anusa. So anusa and snua really go together. Those two go together. B'nei nidui, if a person is in chayrim. Now this, by the way, is a bit chiddush, because there's a machloikus in the Gemara about this, whether this is mutter or not. We had that earlier in the Masechta in Adar, in the Ran. But okay, if a person is in nidui, they should be separated. B'nei tamura, if a person is married to two women, he should know who he's with at the moment. That he shouldn't try to switch. If he's with this wife, he should be paying attention to this wife. B'nei Mariva, somebody who is constantly fighting. So, and this really means what I was referring to before. That even if they're just fighting at the moment, they're generally good, you know, whatever. But at the moment there's an issue that they have to resolve and they're not happy with each other, person should not be having relations for them. B'nei Sichrus, if a person is drunk, that's not the appropriate way to create relations. B'nei Grusha Saleh, or somebody who already made up in his mind that he's going to get divorced, so even if she doesn't know and they don't mind and so on and so forth, once they made up their mind that they're separating, they should not continue with their relations. B'nei Arvuvya, this is actually talking to a woman who is having relations with multiple men. That's not appropriate either. B'nei Chatsufa, and somebody who is so the way that Ran translates this is that if she's a chutzpanyak, that she says, I want it right now. So that's considered b'nei chutzpah. That's also not appropriate. That's not the right time to have relationships. However, the Gemara immediately responds to this last one. Aini, is that really true? Is there something inappropriate for the wife to say that I want? V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yoinasan. Rav Nachmani taught us like this. Kol adam she'ishlo tevas, that if the wife says, I want, so then, havan lo'i banu sha'afilu b'dayr shal Moshe Rabbeinu lo'i ha'yakum ha'yisa. If she says she wants and the husband agrees because she wants, that's an elevated level. It doesn't seem to anything wrong. On the contrary, it's nothing wrong for her to say she wants. It's considered, it elevates things. And I can even bring you a raya, shenemer, because the pasuk says, havu luchem anoshim chachamim nevoinim. On the first hand, it says that, there's chachamim nevoinim. There's the chachamim and nevoinim, people who even understand things. The ksiv, and then the author pasuk says, ve'ekach es roshe shivtechem. When it says, when I'm picking the leaders of the tribes, v'leksiv nevoinim, they don't even need to be Nevoinim, they just need to be Chachamim. So we see Nevoinim is considered a higher level of Chacham. The Ksiv, Now it says, Yisachar Chamor Gora. By Yisachar, the donkey is what caused it. So this is very interesting what the connection is. Let me just read the next pasuk, and I'll explain in a moment. The Ksiv B'nei Yisachar Yoidei Vino Le'itim. They are the B'nei Yisachar are the smartest ones. Now, what is this, the donkey talking about over here? So this is talking about the famous story where Reuven brought Dudoyim to his mother Leah. And the Mefarshim, the Marsha explains that what's going on over here is when Yaakov Avinu came back from the fields, so Leah, his donkey, naturally brought him to Leah's tent. Even though, as we know, Rashi tells us and the Midrashim tell us that Yaakov Avinu used to be sometimes with Rachel, Leah, and so on and so forth, and it primarily spent his time with Rachel. For whatever reason, his donkey led him towards the direction of Leah's tent. So now also they add on the chamor when it neighed or bayed or whatever the proper expression is for when a donkey makes noise. So Leah heard the donkey coming and she invited Yaakov Avinu into his tent, into her tent. And as a result of that relation, that's where Yisachar came from. So we see that Yisachar came from this act of Leah bringing Yaakov into her tent. And not only was Yisachar one of the Shvatim, but Yisachar was considered the Vina, was the highest level. It wasn't just a Chacham, but he was a Vina, the Vainim was one of the highest level of Chachamim. So we see that obviously that was a very good thing. It caused, Yisachar, right? Yisachar, as we know, was the one who learned Torah, was considered on one of the highest levels. So we see that Leah's bringing Yaakov into the tent is what caused one of the highest shvatim. So we see that it's a good thing that Leah asked Yaakov to come be with her. So how could the Gemara say before that it's a chutzpah, that it's considered a bad thing if she asks? So the Gemara answers, so this is a very important teretz. Ahu demiratzio artsuye. That she enticed him. Not that she said it outright with her mouth. She didn't demand it, so to speak. That would be the chutzpah, that would be considered inappropriate. But where she enticed him in whatever acts and whatever the appropriate way is, that is the highest level. So when a wife wants it, she implies it, then, or, does the acts that the husband, so to speak, gets the hints or is interested. So that is considered the highest level of relations. And that's not what the Gemara means. A chutzpah is when she just demands it. Demanding it is inappropriate. And that's not the right time. But to entice it, to make it into a beautiful moment, so then, Anachanami, that is the highest level, and that's the, okay, so that takes us to the end of the second parak. Hadron Allah, Ve'elu Mutar. Okay, so we'll stop over here. We'll start with the Mishnah. There's 4-3 lines left on the bottom of the Amid, but that's really the Mishnah for the next Sugya, which Amir Tashem, next time, we will pick up with over here.